I was actually thinking the other day, thinking a lot about this. It was 21 years ago that I first came to this church. And it was 21 years ago that I was minding my business in my basement apartment on 19 Parade Street, just down the road. Somebody knocked on my door and shared the gospel with me. I had never had anybody share that good news with me before. I'd never heard anyone explain who Jesus was before, and it changed my life that same day. That same day I heard about Jesus, I gave my heart to him. And that was 21 years ago, and I walked into this church, and I got to meet an incredible group of people who I instantly considered family, because you welcomed me, and you loved me, and you made a huge impact in my life. And even if you just had even if we just interacted a little bit, everyone was just so loving and kind and welcoming, and that made a huge impact. And it's made me who I am today, and it's because of you that I'm in ministry today, because you have encouraged me and believed in me and just loved on me. And that's all it took. And that's all Jesus tells us to do, is to love our neighbor, and that's exactly what you've done. And it's made a huge impact. And today, my husband and myself are serving in the Dominican Republic, equipping and empowering other people to share the gospel and to excel in their ministry. And I like to think that what you have done is now what we are doing, because you encouraged me to do what God called me to do, and that's what we're doing in the Dominican Republic. We are encouraging those who are called to live out their calling in the Dominican Republic and to reach their nation. And so what you started here is continuing over there, and we want to thank you for that. So this is my husband, Ryan. And he is from Ontario. I wanted to ask if there was like an Ontario-ness about him that gave it away when your pastor said he must be from Ontario. So that's okay. We have been married, it will be 6 years. I think we're celebrating an anniversary next week.
This weekend.
I tend to forget these things. And he's better at remembering than I am. And we have two beautiful children, Liberty, who you saw go down to Children's Church, and our son Edison, who is also celebrating a birthday today. He is 2 years old today. He doesn't know it yet. He just knows that he's getting cake, and that's all he cares about. His sister definitely knows she's four, but sometimes she thinks she's 14. She's a handful. They're both amazing kids and beautiful and an incredible gift from God. What else am I going to say? We're going to share a video that's going to explain some stuff that's been edited so that you don't have any of these pauses and trying to think of what we're just supposed to say. And it explains some things about what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, in the ministry. But it's impossible to explain everything that we're doing. So when we start talking about the work that we're doing, it just leads to another thing and another thing. And we know that missionary stories tend to get boring and rambly. So what we've actually done is we've put together a calendar. If anyone is interested in buying a calendar, it's a 2019 calendar. And it's 12 months explaining 12 different aspects of the ministry that we're a part of. And it's still not everything that we're doing. But if you're interested and you want to see our calendar all year next year, please stop by our table and pick one up, or just stop by and say hello.
Well, good morning, church. Dios le bendiga mucho. Es un placer para nosotros estar con ustedes en esta mañana. Well, thankfully, we have multiple languages and we have something called interpretation. And I'm going to speak in English. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak in Spanish. I just said good morning. It's such a pleasure for us to be here this morning. Just an honor to be with you. I thank you for sending me my wife. And you guys you guys have blessed me in such an incredible way. You have a part in the legacy of what is happening in the Dominican Republic, not only because of your partnership with us right now, financially through prayer, but also through Heather, just an incredible part of our team. We have two families on our team, the Thomas family, the founders of the ministry. They're from the Ontario region, and we are working with them, two families, and our heart, as the video said, is to equip nationals We cannot reach every village, every town, every city in the Dominican Republic, but we can reach leaders. And we know that when we pour into leadership, it trickles down. Do you remember Psalm 133 that says how blessed it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity? And it's like the oil that is poured over Aaron's head and flows down over his robes and down. It's a representation of when you invest into leadership, it trickles down into the congregations, into the communities, and it has a national impact. And that is the principle of what we are doing in the Dominican Republic. We have an incredible team. We are blessed with an awesome family. I am so blessed to have Heather and our kids. We are a mission family. Our heart is to see Jesus' name lifted high, as it is your prayer to see Jesus' name lifted high in Yarmouth and beyond. You guys are a global church. You are having impact overseas. You are seeing through your impact people coming to Christ, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, communities and nations transformed because of your generosity. So thank you. Thank you. It's our honor to share the word a little bit this morning, but before I go into a little bit of an encouraging word from the scriptures, just wanted to talk a little bit more about our vision. What is our vision? It's to see the Dominican Republic in Haiti and the pastors in the Dominican Republic in Haiti be equipped and empowered to effectively do what they are called to do. Has anybody played professional sport or even sports just for fun? Raise your hand. Anybody here play sports? Anybody play baseball? Anybody? A few? The Dominican Republic is known for its baseball. Many professional baseball players in the major leagues come from the Dominican Republic. You can travel down the major highways and see a lot of the camps that the major teams have built. Beautiful baseball camps and diamonds, pristine. And one of the pastors that we work with, his name is Pastor Jaime Lopez. He's our pastoral care staffing person on the ground in the DR. And he says it like this. The pastors in the Dominican Republic are like professional baseball players, but they don't have any equipment. Have any of you tried to catch a hard ball with your bare hands? What would happen? You get some serious bruising, very sore, and probably eventually you just let it go because it'd be very sore. What we do in a nutshell, it's a great illustration. We provide baseball gloves. We provide equipment so that they can effectively do their job. What is their job? Their call is to lead the church. It's to equip the church to do the work of the gospel. And we are helping them. How do we do that? This video gave a little bit of an idea. We do it through formal training. We do it through conferences. We also do one-on-one work. We visit the pastors. We pray for them. We provide smaller seminars and teaching throughout the year. Everything we do is about building the church so that they can see their nation transformed. Very soon, we believe that the Dominican Republic and Haiti will be sending missionaries overseas. That is our goal. To see their church become a mission-sending church. And that is exciting. Every year we take some Dominican pastors with us to Haiti. We're already bringing missionaries with us when we minister to the Haitian pastors and leaders. And that gets us excited. I can think of Pastor Bidol. He's a Haitian pastor. He just graduated from our Bible seminary in the summer. His father is a voodoo priest. His brothers are involved in voodoo as well, and he escaped from that. God called him. He faced incredible opposition, still does to this day, but he is pastoring a Haitian church in the Dominican Republic, incredible man with a vision. We love him dearly. He's like a brother to us. I think of a lady called Elisandrelis. She's a young lady. And God has begun to birth in her a love for children's ministries. She's been studying in our seminary for just 3 months, and she got so excited about working with children. How many know that working with children is important? If we don't invest in the generation that is growing up, we will lose impact. We will lose a generation if we don't invest in the kids now. And so she got so excited that her pastors say, my goodness, we need to make you the children's pastor. 3 months of getting excited of studying the Bible in our Bible seminary. We love to see that. And something about the Dominican Republic is very few churches have children's pastors. Very few. And so we were so thrilled. These are just examples of committed believers, committed to Christ, that we are seeing equipped and empowered. And I'm sure we can all think of committed believers here in Yarmouth. We can think of committed believers here in this area, other missionaries that you support, people that have put their life on the line for Jesus. And that is exciting. And this morning, I do want to talk just a little bit about commitment to Christ. All of us, at one point or another, made a decision that they were going to commit their lives to Christ. And perhaps there's some here that have not yet done that, and this is a great time to do that. What a great time to do that. But I want to talk for a second about a church. And it was a Moravian church. I don't know if you've heard about the Moravian church, but in the 1700s, a group of believers called the Moravians started to pray together. How many know that when you pray, things happen? Prayer meetings are important. Go to your prayer meetings. And they started to pray, and God's Spirit was poured out, and they began to get excited about going to other places that had not heard the gospel. And in 1732, they started to send out the first missionaries. Really, this Moravian missionary movement was one of the founding movements of the modern missionary movement. And two missionaries, Leonard Dober and David Nietzschmann, they were such individuals who felt God's call to the island of St. Thomas in the West Indies. And they were called to preach to the African slaves there. There were many African slaves on that island. And so they started to get the blessing of their church, and they went out to start to promote their mission and find how they were going to get to St. Thomas. They didn't know yet. They just knew that God had called them. And one person after another started to smash their dreams and their call. They said, "That is ridiculous. You are both tradespeople. You have education. You have talents. Why would you waste it on going overseas to preach to African slaves?" And they were determined. They didn't know how they were going to get there, but they knew they were called and they had to obey. Person after person, even the ship's men did not want them on their boat to go to St. Thomas. Finally, God provided a way they were able to go. And after 10 weeks of very difficult traveling, they arrived in St. Thomas. You would think that upon arrival, everything would go hunky-dory well. But no, they suffered great depression. 22 out of the 29 missionaries sent died, and yet they worked on. And little by little, God began to open doors, and the gospel was received with great joy by the people in St. Thomas. They were deeply committed to Jesus at all costs. We all know people who are deeply committed to Jesus at all costs. And our question this morning for us is, how committed are we to Christ? Are we committed this morning, or are we perhaps casual? And I think the goal of this morning's brief study is that we would, at the end of this morning, commit in a greater level to Jesus Christ. And if we haven't yet committed our lives to Christ, that we would do that this morning. And I want to go right to our text. And it's from 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. And you can read it on the slide if you want as we go through it. And it says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So this morning we're talking about commitment to Christ. And so, Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our minds, our understanding, and the eyes of our heart to both hear and apply your word to our lives, our ministries, and in everything that we do. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was laughing at the video, the very last clip where we all said thank you as a family. It probably took us 10 minutes of shooting to get those 3 seconds because the kids were just... You know, two-year-olds and toddlers, they're always on the go. And we just figured the video is the best way of expressing what we do. And commitment to Christ. You know Heather's story. You may not know much about my story. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it as we go on in the message. But the Apostle Peter here in this verse that we just read, he is writing to the early church. And he is reminding them of their commitment to Christ, and he really talks about 6 things. Now, I'm a teacher at heart. I teach at the Bible Seminary, so I like to make things really clear. I love preaching, but I also love teaching. So this morning is a little bit of a mix. Is that okay? So we're going to put this in acrostic form so you can memorize it. At the end, we're going to pass out a test, and we're going to see if you remember it. I'm just joking. No tests. But commit. You can all remember commit. 6 letters. C-O-M-M-I-T. Liberty's learning her letters. I should have brought her up here to help us with the letters and the acrostic. But commit, each one represents something absolutely important about the call of Christ and about the ownership of Christ, the mission of Christ, the message of Christ, the integrity of Christ, and trusting in Christ. All 6 are key and help us understand what true commitment to Jesus is. And it helps us evaluate, self-evaluate. As Christians, we should always be in process of self-evaluation. How committed to Christ am I today? And this will help us say, Lord, I need to be more committed in this area or in this area. Holy Spirit, help me to submit more in this area. And that's the goal of today. That's the goal of today. So let's talk about the very first part of our commitment, and that is C, and that stands for call. Everybody say call. At one time or another, you were called to Jesus Christ. He called you to himself. In this verse that we read, a magnificent verse, it says, you are what? A chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation called out of darkness. Isn't that incredible? You were called. God saw you. He called you. And you, and you, and you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What imagery, what powerful, explosive imagery God called us. And the most important communication you could ever receive was that call that said, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's that call that you responded to, and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven is waiting for you. That is the call. But how many know that the call doesn't stop there? That's just the beginning of a lifetime of listening to the call of God. As sheep that come into the fold, how many know that the shepherd is constantly moving them to different locations, to green pastures, because the shepherd knows the right way to go and is leading his sheep? I want to encourage you this morning and ask you the question, are you continuing to listen to God's call right now where you are? When I was a young boy, I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. I was only about 7 years old. I was baptized when I was 10 years old. I was 16 when God called me to recommit my life to Christ at a youth convention. I started getting involved in youth ministry and worship ministry in the area of Brampton, Ontario, studied university, engineering at university, but always felt God's call for vocational ministry on my life. And little by little, he made it clear that it was missions. I mentioned on the video that I went to a missions conference called Urbana in Urbana, Illinois, and it was there that God called me to full-time cross-cultural missions. I said yes. I started to do summer internships in the Dominican Republic with the Thomas family. And God just confirmed in my heart. They invited me to come down for a year, maybe longer, and that turned into 11 years. It'll be 12 in January that I have lived in the Dominican Republic. So I'm a little chilly, I'm sure you can imagine, this morning. 2 degrees outside, said the thermometer. But that's okay. It's a nice change from being 35 degrees all year round. So it just blessed. I heard God's call, but God continued to call. How many know that God is continuing to call you even right now today? What is God calling you today? There is a specific thing he has for each one of you to be doing, and it is something that is absolutely essential, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go. But God continues to call you. There is a danger to enter the flock of God and then stop listening to the voice of the shepherd, thinking that we are all good, we have it made, but God continues to call you, continues to call you. What is he calling you to do? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Every single one of you have a supernatural gift or gifts designed to build up the body of Christ. Are you using them? Do you know what they are? This is important. This is important. Now I want to bring us to the second part. That is the call, but the next letter is O, and that is ownership. We are committed to his ownership. You are owned by Jesus. Can you say that? I'm owned by Jesus. Peter says in our text that we are a people for God's own possession. Isn't that beautiful? Paul describes it so beautifully again and again in the books of Corinthians. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Again, he says that you are bought with a price. And you are bought with a price. And it says, for the love of God controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Means we are no longer our own. The life that we live, the finances that we have, the talents that we possess, everything we do should fall under the ownership of Almighty God. The question for us then this morning is, when somebody looks at our life, is it evident that we are owned by God? That we are possessions of God? Do we act as though Christ controls our every thought, word, action, purchase, investment? If we own something, we take care of it. We put it to use for our benefit. God bought us with the infinitely precious blood of Jesus Christ so that we no longer do what we please. We now do what pleases him. How are we doing in that area of commitment, the commitment of ownership to God? This flies in the face of the individualism of our culture. Today, everything is about individualistic actions, about me. It's about what I can do, and I don't need anybody else's help to do it. I am my own person. It's the individual's rights. It's all about the individual. But Christianity is saying, no, you give up your rights to Christ, and now you are his. All that we have is his. Everything that we are is his. Christianity, truly being committed to Christ, gives up our rights and follows his plan using his methods as well. How are we doing? The Moravian missionaries understood that. They gave up everything. They went on a ship. Now missionaries today don't have to go on boats too often. They can fly. But it's not just those that are the heroes of the faith. The heroes of the faith are those who maintain their faith in spite of a culture that is anti-Christian, and hearing the news, what's going on in Canada and in other nations, it grieves my heart, as I'm sure it does yours, that our nations are drifting away from God, and sometimes not drifting, running away from God in the opposite direction. Are you going to be the heroes of the faith that stand firm in the faith, in biblical values and truth, no matter what happens? Because you are owned by God. You are owned by him. You are his. A good friend of mine in the Dominican Republic, his name is Jaquin. Very, very intelligent man. He teaches in our Bible seminary. He has a degree in philosophy and literature. He also has a lot of theological training. He's been invited to go to Spain. Incredible, I believe, scholarships to study in other nations. He said no to them. Why? Because he believes he is called to pastor in our rural city of Nagua. He's committed. He knows he is owned by God. He is owned by God. Doesn't matter what the world thinks of him, he must obey God. And he does it joyfully. Next is M for mission. We're committed to his mission. You are to be on Jesus' mission. You, Evangel Assembly, are part of Jesus' mission. You are partnering with missionaries overseas, and it is so exciting to see that. So exciting. Going back to our key verse, Peter reminds us that God calls us and owns us for a purpose. What is that purpose? It says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You've been called, why? To proclaim his excellencies. You've been called to a mission. A key part of understanding God is to know that he does not need us. God doesn't need us for anything. If he really needed anything outside of himself, he would not be God. And yet in his incredible, omniscient sovereignty, he has chosen to place us in an integral part of his plan. Do you see that? He didn't have to make us the messengers of his gospel, but he did. And he did it in such a way that if we do not speak the message, if we do not engage in his mission, the people will not be saved. That is Bible truth. How are we doing in the mission? Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you probably know this well. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of what? Of all nations. And I praise God that your pastors and your assembly are doing that. You are discipling nations through partnering, through organizations like ours and other organizations. Well done, church. Well done. I would encourage you that even in your street and your workplaces and all of these areas, you ought to be making disciples. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. It's not just the job of the apostles to make disciples. It's the job of our job to make disciples. Wherever we go, we should be training up the next generation, training up people to be disciples of Christ so that they can train up people and they can train up people and they can train up people. You are here because you are disciples of Christ who will then go out and make other disciples of Christ. That is the mission of Christ, teaching the truths of Christ, and it is exciting. Just to recap, we have the call, we have the ownership, and we have the mission of Christ. And now this is the message. We know that mission and message go together. What is our message? That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He died on the cross. He was put in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, ascended to the Father. And he has made atonement for our sins. And if we have faith in Jesus and call on his name, we will be saved and have our names written in heaven. That is our message. We cannot lose that message. We can do all that we want. We can do good things, and we must do good things. But if we don't speak the message, people will not be saved. Paul is very clear about that in Romans 10, 13 to 15. He gives us a step-by-step process of how people are saved. The message is sent out by God's messengers. The messengers preach the good news about Jesus. People respond to the preaching and believe in Jesus. And the believing individuals call on Jesus, and they are saved. They hear the word, they respond in faith, and they are saved. If they don't hear the word, if they don't hear the message, they cannot be saved. That's why we go overseas. That's why you support missionaries. That's why you tell people about Christ, because Jesus and God ordained it in such a way that if we do not tell them, they will not hear. And if they do not hear, they cannot be saved. Remember, God didn't have to do it that way, but he did it that way in his sovereignty so that we are an integral part of his mission and we must speak his message. Are we committed to the message of Christ? Don't be afraid to share the gospel with those around you. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. He will give opportunities, and we must take a hold of those opportunities. Don't be afraid. God is with you. God is with you. Speak about what God has done in your life. People won't deny that. You speak about the amazing things that God has done, people will listen because you're a living example of what's happened. Our next letter brings us to integrity. We're committed to his integrity. How many know integrity means wholeness? Peter here says that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts and keep our behavior excellent In all that we do, we have to be Christ to our world. When you walk outside of these doors, when you are working, when you are on your street talking with neighbors, wherever you go, do people smell Christ on you? Do they see Christ on you? We all know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What is that? That is the blood, that is the life essence of Jesus, the character of Jesus that ought to ooze out of us wherever we go. Is that the case for us? When people see our lives, are we the same at our home that we are in church, that we are in work? Because integrity means wholeness. What you are on the inside is what you are on the outside. There's no variation. You are whole. You are one person. And who are we? We are to be examples of Christ's nature and essence. So how are we in our integrity? There is no quicker way to lose respect or to lose the opportunity to speak than to live a life not of integrity before people. People are watching us, especially when we say that we are Christians. They have us in a fishbowl. We have to live in such a way that we are exuding the fragrance of Christ no matter what we do. And be very quick to repent. We all make mistakes, but be very quick to repent. And say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. The Holy Spirit will zero in on areas that you need to work on, and we need to be quick to work on those. Quick to submit those to Christ. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Accept His grace, because God is a God of grace and forgiveness, and then move on. Repentance means 180. It's turning from here and going to here. And we move on, we go higher in Christ, we go closer to Christ. And our final point this morning, wrapping up, is trust. Do you trust in Him this morning? In what way trust, you ask me? We commit to trust Christ that He has our back. Can you say, God has my back? He has our back, and He will support us in our heavenly calling and our place in the church of Jesus Christ. Peter just called you guys a heavenly race, a royal kingship, or kingly priests, however you want to say it, set apart for a great purpose. You are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Phenomenal words to describe you, Evangel Assembly. You, the body of Christ. This is building of living stones of which each one of you plays an absolutely important part. You are important. You are precious. You are called. And you are part of the construction of a most magnificent cathedral, but a spiritual one for the glory of God. We are indispensable. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the gifts of the body and that the body is made up of different members of which all are important. And if you take out one of those members, or a member tries to be another member that they weren't designed for, there's trouble. Did you know that every single one of you are called and designed and are essential for the functioning of this body of Christ? You are important. The church needs you. You are needed. What is God calling you to do? Trust Him that He has your back. If He calls, He empowers. Where there is vision, there is provision. Where God has called you to do something, you can be guaranteed that He will give you the supernatural power to do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Some are afraid. Why me? Others have better talents. Others can sing. Others can preach. Why me? I can't do anything. I have nothing to offer. Not true. You do. You are important. You are valuable. What is God calling you to do right now? Do it and trust that God will give you the power and the anointing to do it. You are called. You are anointed by His Spirit. 2 Chronicles 16:9, we read that for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Do you hear that? When we have a heart that is fully committed to God, what does He do? He strongly supports us. Wow. Church, God strongly supports you. He strongly supports you. He strongly supports you. The all-powerful creator of the universe who with His word made everything out of nothing. And He says, I strongly support you and you and you and you and you and you and you. because I've called you. You are mine. I've called you to a mission. I've called you with a message. I have called you to integrity, and I've called you to trust me, he says. You are already making an impact around the world, and we are so grateful of your partnership with us in the Dominican Republic. But let us encourage you this morning as we close. How committed are you? Are you committed or are you casual? I'm going to ask everybody to stand up for a moment with me. Just to close your eyes and begin to commune with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? How committed am I this morning to you? And just begin to thank him that he offers us his full support, his full support. We have seen God do mighty things, incredible things with ordinary people. We are all just ordinary people, broken vessels that God fills with his Spirit and says, now go, I am with you. I just read through the book of Joshua, and time again, he says to Joshua, be of great courage, don't be afraid. Be of great courage, don't be afraid. Be of great courage, don't be afraid. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking that to us this morning. He's saying to you, be of great courage, don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you. That is a promise of Scripture. And the promises of Scripture are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And so just every eye closed, I just want to ask a couple questions here as we close. And the first is, maybe the Holy Spirit is moving you onwards to a greater level of commitment. If that's you, I just want to say by raising your hand, no one else looking around, that's me. I want to go greater. I want to go deeper with God. I want to be more committed to Christ. If that's you, just raise your hand just between you and God. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we know that commitment is not about just coming to church. Many of us think that just by coming to church and filling seats, we are committed to God. That's not what it's about. It's a heart-level commitment that is passionate about Jesus and who he is. I want to be greater committed. My hand is raised. I want greater commitment to Christ. I want to go deeper with Jesus every day. Oh, in prayer and study of the word, hallelujah. Just begin to speak to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be more committed to you in all that I do. I want to ask another question. I'd be remiss if I didn't do that this morning. Maybe there's someone here that has not committed to Christ, and you say, you know what, I don't really know this Jesus. I don't understand all this stuff that you've been talking about. What a great opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible says simply, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you don't know for sure that if you die today, you will be in heaven with the Lord, I'm telling you today is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if that's you, if you want to say, I want to make a commitment to Jesus, see my name written in heaven this morning with no eyes looking around, I want to see hands raised, please, if that's you. Now, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Just repeat after me, the whole congregation, please. Dear Lord Jesus, I just ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. I believe you died for my sins, and you were raised for my justification and resurrection. And one day I will be with you for eternity. Help me to study your word every day. Be faithful to you every day. Jesus, I'm yours. Now let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Evangel Assembly. I thank you for the pastors. I pray the blessing and the anointing of God upon each and every one. They are called for a specific purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed them as a light here in Yarmouth. Oh God, we bless you, Lord. Heather and I just thank you so much for them, Lord, and what they mean to us in the Dominican Republic, but also for what they're doing here in Nova Scotia and in this area in Yarmouth. Oh God, Fill this place with your power. Continue to anoint each and every one because they are anointed. They are called. They are appointed for greatness, Lord. And I just thank you so much for every mission and vision that you placed on pastor's heart, Lord, that they would just come alongside the pastors and they would say, let's go together. Let's do this. And they would see souls come to Christ. They would see this community, this whole province rocked in the power of Jesus. Ah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. You are good. We just want to thank you. Let's just thank him right now. Lord, I thank you for calling us. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for what you're doing around the world in the Dominican Republic and in Haiti. Lord, we bless your name. We worship you. And we want to say, Lord, we want to be greater, committed to at a greater level to you, Lord. Just like that song says, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to him, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Can we just sing this together? I surrender all. Hallelujah. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ryan and Heather. Appreciate you guys very much. And I know you're running away, but I want Ryan and Heather to come back on up just for a sec. We're going to pray for them as a congregation before they head back out. It's not all the time that you get to be on the home base, and even in a home church where you've grown up and where you have memories and where you're from. And so we want to take just some time to gather around you. If you could share with us, what are maybe the top like one or two things that we can pray for you, not even just today, but going forward as you guys finish your furlough and head back? Is there like just off the top of your head, there one or two things, you know, that you'd see most pressing in terms of prayer? What would they be?
You're dangerous putting me on the spot. Well, I mean, any number of things. Was it when we go back or during this furlough?
Anything that comes to mind.
Our heart is that we would make more connections, and not just in a financial fundraising sense, but we just see so many churches who are not engaged in missions, and we think that's a shame. And so we're not looking, I know a missionary saying we're not looking for money, but we're really just looking to partner with people because the mission is great and everyone is called and everyone is called to be a part. And we just want those who aren't supporting missions, those who aren't even just supporting the local church, just to get involved. You know, we're called to equip and empower pastors and leaders in their church, and we want to help do that even when we're visiting churches. So our prayer is that we would be effective in supporting the church and strengthening the church wherever we go as we're traveling around and visiting. And we always need prayer for our kids. You know, it's hard raising kids on the road. It's hard raising kids on the mission field, and we need a lot of wisdom. We've got two children with very different personalities, and, you know, we need to know how their hearts work so that we can be the best parents that we can be. We want them to love missions, too, and when they grow up, we don't want them to resent us for bringing them up there.
Excellent. Just praying for connections with local churches and then praying for your family. That's fantastic. Can we gather around them, our deacons and their spouses and anyone else that would like to come gather around and lay hands on them? Can you just come now and gather around Ryan and Heather? And we're going to lift them up in prayer. We're going to lift up the ministry and the commitments that are in the contacts and the networking they will have with Christians on this side, on the home front and on the mission field. And we're going to lift up their families as well. And I'm going to pray for them as they have wisdom with raising their children. So just come on up and gather around them. And if you're staying in the pew, if you can't make it up, that's okay as well. Just, you know, you can begin to pray for them and just call out to God on their behalf as well. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for the words this morning. I just thank you for Ryan. I just pray, Lord, that you would just minister, continue to minister through him, Lord God, as you have given him a passion and an anointing for teaching, Lord God, and for communicating the gospel truths with passion and inspiring motivation into people, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to give him opportunities to do that and expand their reach as their heart is to see the nations of Dominican and Haiti sending missionaries. Let them be equipped and built up, Lord. And I thank you that your word says that is the purpose of the ministry gifts, and as you've given him the gift of pastoring and teaching, Lord, that you would use that to equip the saints, and for Heather as well, Lord God, as you've given her a ministry of organization, Lord, and as she administrates teams and she works alongside of her husband in the Dominican Republic in a ministry in her own right. I just thank you, Lord God, and that you would raise them up and give them wisdom and contacts and the ability to handle even greater capacity, Lord God, than they could imagine, but that you would give Heather the capacity to administrate and handle a greater capacity than even know of, that they could even do, Lord God. And so just pray, Lord God, that as they network and connect with local churches, that their heart would come through, Lord God, that their heart for you would come through, and that they would be in the hearts of local churches, and local churches would be into the heart of what they are doing as missions, Lord God, that it would be a catalyst, not just for the Dominican Republic, but that it would change people in their local churches, and they would be a catalyst in their hometowns as well. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that very, very much. And Rachel, can I get you to pray for their family, for their kids, and to give them wisdom?
Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would have your hands upon this couple, Lord, that you would keep them united in their marital bond, Father, that these young children that they have, Father, that you would give them the wisdom to raise these children, whether they are on the road in any mission field, Father, that these children are going to grow up to be mighty warriors of Jesus, Lord. They are going to see from such a young age to see how to help, how to pour into, how to encourage and uplift, because it's just what they see Mommy and Daddy doing, Father. May there be no resentment, but only love and only, Father, just thankfulness that they were able to grow up in this manner. Lord, help them to be uplifters of their parents. Father, as these kids age and they look at mom and dad, help them to pour into mom and dad too when mom and dad are tired. There's nothing like being so exhausted and the little one just comes over and crawls on your lap and gives you a hug, Father, that just renews and refreshes you. Father, have your hands upon this family no matter where they are in this world, and let them always feel the bond that they have to evangel and our love for them. And thank you, Lord, for Ryan pouring into us today. That was a mighty message, Lord, that maybe we all called, Father, to just be more, to do more, to grow deeper with you because of having them here today. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.